This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Who needs freeze-dried food? Who needs to bring their own food at all? Now, there's Talon Teeth. Talon Teeth are dental inserts you can throw into your mouth and become like the wild animal you are. Eat bark, bugs, and beavers at your leisure. Talon Teeth. Check it out at BiteThis.com. What's going on, backpacking and blisters family? This is Derek, and with me today is the only man who you will see got officially reprimanded by a professional zoologist on a podcast for the first time in history today, Carl Mandrioli.
It's never happened before, right?
Never. This is the first time.
Yeah. Shocking.
First time.
And with me today is Derek Somerville, the only man that believes dogs love phones because they have caller IDs.
And it just keeps getting worse, everybody.
Not worse.
Here we are.
Yeah. We got a real zoologist, man.
This is legit.
This
everybody.
Is legit. Yeah, this is not a pretend. This is not a fake person that, like, Derek recruited to pretend.
She sounds legit. She is legit.
She sounds legit. She is legit.
You'll find out where she's from, but yeah. I'm excited. And hopefully you guys will learn something today.
For sure. So, yeah, we actually threw out on our Patreon channel or whatever that is that she's going to come on our show. So I asked them what questions they wanted to ask, and so we have some listener questions, some fellow adventurer questions we're going to put out there.
Yeah. But,
yeah. Bible verse, James 3:7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind.
Whoa.
If you could tame any animal, Derek, and make it your pet, which one would you choose?
Sasquatch. You're going to make Sasquatch not real. Wow. But it's not real, though. I'm gonna say the blue whale.
Okay.
So the blue whale. I would love to just ride on the back of a blue whale.
Okay. So you'd have like a big tank at your house. So
yeah.
You could house.
Obviously.
You could probably afford that, right?
Yeah, that's no problem.
Okay.
Osprey budget, you know? It's not a big deal.
All right. Yeah. I was thinking you'd say more like, you know, the Loch Ness Monster or like the Leviathan or
something
like
easy.
That.
Yeah, that's easy. The Kraken.
The Kraken. Kraken. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about, kind of interactions with various animals today and kind of as it relates to the wild, appropriate and inappropriate behavior, all sorts of things.
I'm excited.
Okay, so without further ado, we have Ashley Colwick, zoologist, right now. Ashley, thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Just got back from my first vacation a couple of years and got a little tan for Michigan winter, so I'm good.
A couple of years.
Where'd you go?
We went to Cozumel.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah, well, congratulations on a vacation.
Thank you.
Yeah, so can you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your role, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so currently I work for Michigan State University Extension, and I actually work for Michigan Natural Features Inventory as a zoologist. That is a program of NatureServ, which is an international organization that has a presence in every single U.S. state and province and many other countries in Central and South America.
Okay. Wow.
Essentially, when you hear that an animal is globally imperiled or nationally endangered or state endangered, there are people like me all over that are continuously collecting data on our state's plants, animals, and ecosystems, basically to determine their status.
Okay.
So for most of my career, I've worked with rare butterfly species.
Oh, wow.
And when I started with MSU a few years ago, I wanted to start working with more of a variety of different types of species. So now my work typically looks like in March and April, I'm doing hawk raptor work. So here, red-shouldered hawks and goshawks. Nice. This coming summer, because the field season, but this coming March, which will still be winter for us, I'll be doing some owl work in Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore in Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
Okay. Right.
That's cool.
Yep. So not only in full on winter, but also all night.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
We almost were heading there actually in April. So we might have, we almost could have ran into you. But I think it's fair to say that based on what you just shared, you are overqualified for the questions we're about to ask.
Okay.
Because we've got some sort of, you know, just kind of general animal questions. We're not coming at things necessarily from a scientific perspective or from, you know, like looking at the data you've been collecting. We're coming at it as just kind of like
curious.
Joe and Jane average. Yeah, just curious. Yeah, you have animal questions from the perspective of like, you know, outdoors people, hikers, backpackers, that kind of thing.
Ask the animal genius
questions.
I love that title.
So we have some questions kind of, yeah, more general outdoorsy kind of animal questions. And then we've got some that might be a little bit off the wall, just to warn you.
all Carl's.
Not all mine.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in my job, the requirement to study only these rare species often results in we're going to the most remote areas. So for us, safety is absolutely always number one. And a lot of the same safety concerns with wildlife, I'm sure you'd be concerned with while backpacking as well. So
yeah,
right. And just before we jump into the questions, we do take wildlife very seriously, but our podcast has a sense of humor at the same time. So just some of these are going to be with, you know, tongue in cheek. So
for sure.
So let me start with you, Ashley. Here we go. What would be the one animal that you would not want to encounter in the wild?
You know, it's interesting because the most dangerous animals are often the ones you're so not likely to ever encounter. And if you did, they would see you well before you were aware of their presence. For instance, I don't know how many times I've probably been walking around and, you know, a big cat has been nearby totally just looking at me, walking around totally clueless.
Right.
But I would say
that's true.
A mother, an active mother of anything.
That's a good answer. Yeah, that's a good answer.
So last spring, I had a couple bear encounters. And here in Michigan, it's the American black bear, which is not as large as the grizzly. But still, when you see a bear, it's pretty scary. For a minute, it's exhilarating. You know, it's all adrenaline. And so last spring, I was in Grayling, Michigan, doing some work on a military training facility, and I woke a bear up from hibernation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
way to go.
I'll tell you really quick what I did, which is we made eye contact with each other. I was maybe about 10 yards from it, and it had bed hair. I'm not even joking. And it was sitting up in this kind of area underneath a tree. So you could see all the roots underneath because it had been in there. And I maintained the eye contact and I slowly backed away. And without making myself any smaller, I was trying to reach into my backpack at the same time to grab my camera to get a good photo. But also I was trying to grab my peanut butter sandwich to hand to him. And he came at me.
I was going to say, you're going to hand it to him, like, here you go.
She sees bare bed hair, and then she has the presence of mind to multitask for the selfie and the peanut butter.
Right. That's some confidence right there.
Wow.
And when you said you woke the bear up, honestly, I was imagining you like poking it with a stick or something.
That's more of a Carl move. Yeah, so, yeah.
Right.
She's a professional.
Yeah.
And she takes her work seriously. So. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think those are fair answers. I was half expecting maybe like a dinosaur. Maybe it might be kind of the worst thing to encounter.
Dinosaur. Wow.
Dinosaur.
Okay. Wrong time frame.
That's our take.
Maybe a dinosaur fossil. I was just at the La Brea Tar Pits. I was at the La Brea Tar Pits the other night, yeah. So I got a little scared there. So, what's your question?
Okay,
yeah.
So we've got a listener question. This is from Mike from Northern California, and he wants to know if there's any signs that we should be looking for on the trail that maybe we're about to have some sort of a wild animal encounter that might be particularly amazing or awesome or life-threatening. Like if we should kind of just generally be aware, whether that's like, you know, the little hairs going up on the back of our neck or just any thoughts in that regard.
Like a loud growl?
If you're hearing consistent bird song and all of a sudden everything gets quiet, that would definitely strike an alarm bell in me. Somehow it's only happened to me once and I don't know what was around me, but it was very strange. I was in Peru actually, and
dinosaur.
I don't know if it was a big cat or something, but it was one of the most bizarre situations I've ever been in, to be in a tropical forest in complete silence.
I might be able to shed some light on that. I've also heard that birds stop singing when the people you're with have really bad BO and it's offensive and they fly away. So, Carl, you know what I'm talking about. So that's something else. You could put that down in your notes.
Another answer I would have is I personally have a very excellent sense of smell, which is oftentimes not a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It makes humanity difficult to be around, but I definitely smelt wild animals, smelled them before I saw them. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you differentiate smells like that? That's like a bear, that's a wolf, like, you know, just in the smell. Oh.
I can for sure, big cat smell for sure. Okay. Not a lot different than your house cat smell.
Right.
And you can even sometimes then see a tree that they have scratched and then often scratch and then pee.
Pee on it, right.
Right, right.
Can you smell the pee?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, think about
dude, cat pee's the worst. Are you serious?
I know, but we know. I don't smell it out in the wild.
Because they're so rare. They have such huge home ranges, right? And when
their litter box is a lot bigger.
That's true.
And when there's overlapping home ranges, you'll have multiple cats peeing in the same areas to delineate their ranges.
A lot of pee out there.
And you think about your average house cat weighs, what, 10 pounds?
Yeah.
So you think a wild cat's going to be... You know, depending on, there's a lot of different species of wildcats, but it's going to be a lot more pee than.
That's true.
Right.
So it's true.
Right. That's.
Yeah.
We could go. I've got like five questions about cat pee, but I think we. Yeah.
He loves pee. He loves pee.
I have a coworker who's a mammalogist, and you can have him on and he'll answer all of your cat pee questions.
Let me get you another question. This is from Frank. He wants to know, have you had to like learn any tracking skills, you know, and do you have any tips about tracking if you had to like follow, like you said you were like looking for certain animals sometimes.
The main thing is not having your AirPods in, your headphones in when you're in the field and just being aware of your surroundings.
Okay.
Wait. Have you had that problem where like zoologists, like fellow zoologists have actually had headphones in when you're out in the field?
Well, when I lived in Canada, there was someone around Banff that was running and was attacked. And I believe.
Okay. Oh, they're not, but they're just at leisure, not actually like on the job, obviously.
Not a professional.
Not a professional. No.
Okay. No.
Sorry. I didn't mean to dismiss they were attacked while running. That's still horrible. Are they okay? Did they make it?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Wow.
But I would say, I mean, I think looking at tracks is really interesting, but 90% of the time it's a raccoon.
90% of the time it's a raccoon.
Okay. That is good.
Nice.
Yeah. Good to know. So we had this one where one of our listeners, Michael, had this experience and wanted to kind of know your take on it. So can you describe that, Derek?
So it says, I once spooked an elk while hiking in Yellowstone and he looked like he was about to charge. So I threw my arms up because I was told that would make me look bigger. He just looked confused, but it worked. Do you think he thought it was a big animal or did I just get lucky?
I think a little bit of both. Yep. So for for an elk, you're not prey. So there's two types of animals you're going to run into. And one type are just going to be defending themselves and their young. And then the other type might think you're food. However, I don't really know of a wild animal that would think that a full-grown adult human would be an excellent meal. But I would say that in general, making yourself bigger, making yourself loud, if you think that animal is indeed going to charge you, is the best bet. Yeah, because you can get hurt from a large animal charging you, even if it doesn't want to eat you. And I would say with most animals, maintaining eye contact, not running, and making yourself big, and maybe getting out of your backpack anything to throw at them if they do start charging, just to distract them.
And is it ideal to kind of move slowly?
Yep, never run. Don't turn your back and run. And I know some people say that for some big cats to not maintain eye contact because they see that as a threat. I don't know how much I agree with that. One of my friends, Renata, she's Brazilian, she was actually a part of a group of scientists a long time ago. This was over 10 years ago. She told me this story that all of these women in India were getting attacked by cats, tigers, when they were doing laundry, because when they're hunched over on the river bed, you know, doing their washing their clothes in the river, that they looked about the size of prey, you know, all bunched over like that. And she was a part of the team that developed these mask like head pieces for them to wear that just had eyes in the back of the head.
I've seen those before. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some people say don't make eye contact with an animal. But, you know, by the time an animal has decided it's going to charge you, you have likely made a lot of mistakes leading up to that. You should go into fight mode for sure.
Not fight or flight, just the straight up fight
just
mode.
Hunker down, grab a rock, and go to work.
And don't play dead until it's on you, and then give up, you know, maybe if that's where you're at.
Got it. Let's hope we don't get there.
Yeah, for sure.
One thought you had mentioned earlier about, you know, trying to make yourself bigger. I think Derek's takeaway on that one was, you know, maybe he needs to work out a little bit more, maybe put on a little more muscle mass. And
in the process, Carl,
you got a long way to go. Just saying that. Okay, we got a question from Jason. So he wanted to know if there's any sort of animal that consumes something that makes the animal dung a good fire starter. So I don't know if that's like an animal that eats wood or some sort of flammable material, and then it kind of comes out the other end. Any thoughts on that?
Flammable poop.
Right.
I would say animal dung would be at my very bottom of the list for a fire starter because of the sensitive nose that I have.
Oh, that's true.
However, if you're going to use animal dung as a fire starter, I would say, yeah, something that has a grass-based diet would be best. So, you know, Native Americans of the plains used to use bison dung. Yeah. And then also, I come across in looking for raptors, since I'm looking up in the trees all the time, I come across a lot of porcupines.
Not dinosaur raptors, Carl.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's what my brothers always think, that I'm out looking for velociraptors.
Right. Well, that's what I thought.
Porcupines.
Simple minds.
Bark. Okay. You know, so then their poop comes out in little pellets that are like, I don't know, like the size of a really big pill, you know?
Okay.
Like a joke pill. Yeah.
Interesting. I was thinking when you said like grass based diet, I was thinking like vegans maybe.
Here's a poop quiz question. This is totally random. Which animal, I believe, has triangle poop? I think I saw this on TV.
I don't know. Some moths have like star-shaped poop.
No, star-shaped? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But that's called frass, not poop.
So. I get it confused too.
Okay.
Sorry, what's the triangle?
Oh, I thought it was the koala.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
I could be. I think it's koala.
That's out of my area of expertise down under.
Okay. So.
Poop is not her area.
Poop's not her area. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I more meant Australian fauna.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. Okay. So here's a question for you. If animals tend to really like a person, does that give them the street credit in the zoology community?
Street cred is how to
say it. Street cred. My bad. I'm not as hip.
So if you're talking about zoology as in someone that works in a zoo, I would say yes. If there's somebody that the animals really tend to like, yes. However, in my world, which is wildlife, I would say no, because it probably means you're doing something bad, like supplying them with
treats. Right, you're feeding the pigeons, so to speak, right?
Right, right.
Okay, okay. That makes sense. I didn't think about it that way, but that makes sense.
But I'd say a zookeeper that has a, you know, one of the great apes that really like it, I would say that that's probably someone I would trust. And I think I was at the Columbus Zoo for work once, and there was someone that hadn't worked there for over a decade and came back, and some of the apes remembered him, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's really cool. I like that. Yeah, that's I think that's super cool.
You got a question?
Yeah, speaking of the whole, you know, feeding the animals thing, when is it appropriate to feed wild animals aside from when they're really cute or really hungry?
I hate to be, you know, that person, but it's just never okay. Even if they are cute.
Never okay, Derek. Never. Stop
you know,
it.
And I had responded to your question about the hand sanitizer and getting an animal drunk and saying that I had accidentally.
That's from a couple seasons ago.
I had accidentally got that Tyra, which is a large weasel, drunk off of my butterfly trap.
Wow, Asher.
Oh, yeah. Dope.
Yeah, okay.
So, Asher, that's animal abuse. I don't know if you're aware.
I know. I felt really bad.
Okay. Let me ask you this one. This is from Nate. If we wanted to eradicate Bigfoot, what non-native animal from a local zoo should we break out? First of all, I don't even know if you're a Bigfoot person, but let's just say
the question assumes that you are.
Well, the question assumes she is, sadly. Well, but my question is like even further than Nate's question is like, have you ever smelled Bigfoot? Because I feel like she would smell Bigfoot with the nose, right?
I would definitely smell Bigfoot. I feel like my scent would pick up on that. You know what the most dangerous animal on Earth is?
The honey badger.
Humans.
Human, oh, for sure.
Okay, so but we
apparently are the only species that can't find Bigfoot. So unless you have a blurry camera. So we got to keep working on that.
I know.
Actually, I hope we don't find him. I hope we don't.
Wow.
Wait, mission accomplished. Okay.
All right, yeah, so I've got a question. I don't know that I threw this one at you ahead of time, just to warn you.
I apologize ahead of time.
No, keep going, this is good.
Okay. What's your theory on cow mutilations?
What?
Cow mutilations?
Yeah, are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I don't even know how to answer this either.
Like, is this an alien theory?
There's one theory about that for sure. But yeah, they find these cows that are completely, I don't want to get too graphic, but yeah, basically horrible things have happened to them, but there's like a surprising lack of sort of blood or evidence around them.
Like ensanguination when they're...
Yeah, like taking the blood out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, and they just get kind of wrecked and they're just like randomly out in the middle of these, you know, ranches that are very rural. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm baffled, and you know, I don't know my take on that at all. But yeah, I mean, I'm baffled. I have no good answer for you.
Okay,
I think the universe is way too large for us to even comprehend what we don't know.
Well said. Yeah. Okay. So this is going down a different road. Then let's circle back to the cat. So I just had this idea, and you can, you know, tell me how creative or inappropriate this idea is after I share the story here. So we have a cat in our house, and it was not my doing. I just feel like when you have a house cat, they just destroy your house, whether it's tearing things up or, you know, cat pee everywhere.
Sure.
And then I kind of put two and two together. So there's a holiday where people come to your house and you give them things and they take things away for free. Halloween, I'm talking about.
Here we go.
How inappropriate would it be for me to take my cat and just put it in somebody's candy bag?
I mean...
How old is the kid?
We'll say 10 or older.
Yeah, I would say ask permission from the child first, and then I...
From my child or for them?
Well, maybe your kid's going to be pretty...
All good. Children, Carl. All children. Oh, man. Would you like a cat and a candy?
I'm just imagining putting the cat in the kid's candy bag. Who would not be excited about that?
Well, it would have to be a kid that's carrying around a pillowcase, not a pumpkin.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. That's fair. There's some criteria there.
Yeah.
But regarding your cat issues, you know, cats are, the domesticated house cat is just such a curious creature because they still have so much wild left in them. So I think we need to get you some more cat toys, honestly. Ooh. You know, because they have all of that wild in them, scratching trees, right. You know, to mark their territory.
So maybe he's just not entertaining enough as an owner.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Or just as a person in general.
Well, we've already established that, but
okay. The cat's my daughter's, and that that's kind of, yeah, I was trying to kill two birds with one stone there. But anyway, last question we got.
Yeah.
This is where, yeah, I'm just going to tell you straight up just some things that have been going on here in the past with me in particular, and you can... I'm kind of just giving you license to judge me specifically. So
please do, harshly. Yeah.
So I was trying to think of like three wild animal experiences that I've had where maybe we could have some kind of truth spoken our way, and we could be the examples for others. So I'm going to give you three experiences that I've had, and I want you to tell me of the three, which was the worst decision
you
can. Okay. In Yellowstone National Park, we had a grizzly bear come into our campground. I had my daughter at the time was like 1.5 years old. And so net result is I chased the grizzly bear out of the campsite, chased it down the road.
Wow.
All right.
That's so brave.
Yeah.
So brave.
Because that grizzly was messing with mama, papa, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And what did she say? Don't mess with moms. And like,
but I'm the papa in this case.
Well, yeah, but.
It's species to species. We happen to be one of the species that the mother and father may or typically stay with their young until they fledge, right? So for some species, for instance, the goshawks, it's both the mom and the dad who are taking care of the nest. So species, the dad doesn't stick around at all.
Typically,
right?
Yeah. That is not my
house. Carl's. Oh, it's not your home?
It's not my house. Okay, so then the next one was we went to Grand Tetons, and I had an older gentleman with me who had not really experienced a whole lot with the wildlife. And so we came across a wild moose. And so I kind of went around the other side of the moose to try to make some sounds to kind of scurry the moose up towards him so he could get a better camera shot. And in process, I ended up getting pretty darn close to the moose, probably within, I don't know, like 5 yards, I'd say, of the moose. So
smart.
So there's that.
I'm gonna say
I gave her license to judge, not you, Derek.
That's the one. Okay. That's the one for me.
Okay. And then the third one is I was teaching high school in Australia for a little bit and tried to break up a fight between two high school kids. So not quite wild animals, but close.
That's like standard for school, though.
Breaking up a fight?
Well,
you're not supposed to do that.
Are they teenagers?
You're not supposed to break up a fight.
Well,
yeah.
Let it go?
Just to clarify, is your question, are high school kids teenagers?
Yes. Not if they got held back a few years like you. So,
And they're not, what are they, young adults?
that's why we have a lot of simple talks, you know, that's why. So, yeah, what do you think, Ashley? Which
is the worst decision out of the three?
So I am going to judge you 0 on 1 and 3. I think that taking care of your family and protecting them from wildlife is, I support that. Hmm. And high school kids shouldn't be fighting, right?
They should have.
Australia is kind of Wild West in a lot of ways.
but I will say no one should ever disrupt wildlife for a good photo.
Disrupt, okay.
Way to go, Carl.
She said with the caveat, good photo.
If you're multitasking while staring a bear down, that's okay, right? She had the sandwich in the camera. Were you listening to
multitasking?
A poor skill for him. but she's saying, you know, don't encircle a moose and maybe accidentally trap it, and something worse could have happened, Carl.
What if the fourth scenario was handing the bear the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, not throwing it at him, but handing it to him? Would that be worse than the moose or better than the moose?
That is absurd.
I was only because I was using one of those beeswax wraps for my lunch, so I knew that it wasn't sealed.
You see how he makes you defend yourself unintentionally.
So if the bear had just woken up from hibernation, it was starving, and there's no berries.
You were just being thoughtful, is what I'm gathering.
It was self defense because I was thinking if he was going to be coming towards me, it might have been because he smelled the food. So I was going to give the smell.
Yeah, and who doesn't want a peanut butter sandwich? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, you know.
So I think actually now that I'm putting pieces together here, circling back to a previous question we had about when it's appropriate to feed wildlife, it sounds like when your life's in danger, it's okay to feed the wildlife.
You know, I didn't put that together that I had broken my own rule, but I was, a couple of my coworkers buy those huge cases of sardines, and that's what they eat in the field all the time, and I just, I like sardines, but I don't want to be, we're not going to litter and just leave these sardine tins in the middle of the woods.
Right,
so then you're carrying around fishy smell on you all day, which if I was a bear just waking up, I mean, that's what I would want to be eating, you know, so.
And these are the professionals, Carl, carrying fish smells. I stuck a salmon wrapper down Carl's backpack, and so maybe I'm part zoologist. Maybe that's what we're saying.
That was, just to clarify, that was in grizzly bear country too, like in an area that it was known to be there was lots of grizzly bears in Glacier National Park. That's what he did. That's well, the kind
I'm,
of
I'm trying to up your game is what I'm trying to do.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think we got through all the questions. So
that was great.
Ashley, we really appreciate this. Thank you for playing along with some of our ridiculous questions as well. But you actually, even in the process with the ridiculous questions, I think provided quite a lot of information for us to chew on for sure.
That was really fun. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
All right, man. That was awesome. What did you think about that?
She just is a well of knowledge.
A well.
Like okay. A deep well.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah. She had a lot of good information. She was a good sport about some of your ridiculous questions.
I'm glad that she talked about how absurd it was that you approached a moose and did what you did. Okay. And I think we all learned something. I just love the whole, like, she just was very matter of fact about a lot of things. You know, she just knows stuff about, like, the tracking stuff as far as, like, you know, the birds getting quiet. Like, this is little things I never really thought about.
Right.
I'm going to pay attention to that next time I'm on the trail. Whether or not you wear deodorant or not, I'm still going to like listen to the birds or listen to them not sing. So
I don't think you hear birds when you're on the trail. I think that they automatically get quiet when you're walking down the trail.
Yes, because they want to see what I'm going to do. They respect me.
They want to see what you're going to do.
They respect
me. What are you going to do? You're just going to walk? What are you going
to
do?
The birds respect me. Birds, you know, you scare them. So okay, there's a difference. You have to recognize the silence is what it is.
So. Just to clarify, birds respect you and I scare birds. Okay.
Correct. Got it. Now you're getting somewhere.
Okay. A couple things to clear up here. So we had a Bigfoot question, shocker, I know, but that actually was not from me. That was from listener Nate from Colorado Springs, so thank you for that. Now, had Nate not asked that question, I definitely would have chimed in with something, right?
Oh, I think we both would have, yeah.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
Well, I was curious to see what, if I just said, do you believe in Bigfoot, like what would she have said?
Yeah, that's like entry-level question right there. You're better than that.
I'm better than that, but are you better than that?
Nate's better than that, because his question kind of assumed that she believed in Bigfoot, and then how do we eradicate it, which I thought was a creatively asked question.
Yeah.
What was your favorite listener question?
I guess mentioned before, I think the thing about the tracking was really interesting to me, because there's just, I think I always find it fascinating, like, you know, what animals may be around, how could you find an animal if you needed to? If you're like a zoologist like her, like, you know, they're always, like, she's trying to find, like, certain animals when she's out there. So it was interesting to see like the little things that she'll pay attention to and notice on the trail. So I'm going to try to implement that stuff next time we go out.
Okay.
The tracking question was from Frank. So Frank, well done. I appreciate it. Carl does not. Thank you very much. That was great.
I appreciated all the questions. And the way that we actually, I don't know if anybody caught this, but the way that we structured the interview was we tried to ask like as legit as possible questions that we thought might be, I don't know, like, you know, more answerable by a zoologist. And then we got increasingly more, you know, backpacking and blisters-y.
One of your legit questions was, though, you know, should I give a kid a cat at Halloween? And then it went to ridiculous, I think.
That was a legit question.
I think you really wanted
to. Let's be honest here. There's a lot of folks out there, a lot of fellow adventurers out there that probably own cats that are trying to figure out a way to nicely get rid of it, right?
Well, if you're trying to give it to a little kid, like she said, make sure you check with the parents.
I think she said check with a kid, which I'm happy to do, because I think a lot of kids want the cats.
You think the kids' parents are going to just like keep the cat? I mean,
I think if the kids' parents are not willing to go walk around with them during Halloween, then that's just some of the repercussions they have when they come back.
Okay, that's fair.
Because don't all kids come back with a bag full of stuff, and not everything in the bag the parents want the kids
to
eat?
Well, my mom wouldn't let me eat candy if it wasn't wrapped, so I don't know about the cat. Does it need a collar?
They're sifting through. They're sifting through.
All right.
We're going to keep this candy. I guess we'll keep the cat, too.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. So that's something to think about.
Yeah. I really am glad that the professional, I'm going to reiterate that, professional zoologist and I resonated on what your most ridiculous scenario was. And getting too close to the moose.
Right.
Forget the kids. Forget the grizzly.
Yeah.
Why are you 5 yards from a moose with ginormous antlers that could impale and kill you?
I wish I could say that this is that I'm not going to make these types of mistakes anymore, but
Is it just curiosity? Are you like a cat?
I don't know what it is.
Should I give you to somebody at Halloween? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, why are you so curious?
Probably. I don't know. But yeah, and same question. I like that you did not understand that high school students are teenagers. So that was a learning experience for you as well.
There, there's 10-year-olds in college, and there's also 20-year-olds in high school.
Right.
So.
Right. That's the majority of them, right?
Exactly. In Colorado, at least. In Colorado. Castle, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So much to respond to. I liked her bear story. I liked that she was about to, you know, give the bear the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That's just heads up.
It is heads up. And that kind of ended up, like, kind of unexpectedly tied in with the question we had about feeding the animals, which we know we don't feed the animals. We were just being silly with that question, but it's just good to hear from a professional.
And we inadvertently, as she said, we caught her breaking her own rule of feeding the animals. So, you know, we're here to do all parts and services for everybody.
Right. Okay. I think that was good. I think it's time for trivia, though.
All right, let's go.
So here we go. Let's do trivia.
Okay.
Right after this. So I've got animal trivia. Animal trivia. Yeah, for this?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
All right. Number one, which animal can only eat when tipped upside down, like when their head's tipped upside down? A, flamingo, B, sloth, C, bat, or D, tree?
Wow. I know you want to say tree. I'm going to...
I made the trivia question. I don't want to say anything.
I think in your heart, though, you want to say tree.
Kind of.
Okay, bat can eat right side up. They can eat the fruit off the tree. I've seen them do it.
If it's a fruit bat.
If it's a fruit bat. So I'm going to say sloth.
Sloth. Yeah, because sloths hang upside down, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a flamingo. The flamingo's
going to... I knew you were trying to trick
upside
me.
Upside down. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well... It is trivia.
When he bends down, because I don't know if that's true. Because I went to the zoo and saw them eating little things out of the pond to the stream.
Well, email Ashley and confirm. But this is found on a legitimate site.
Legitimate.
UpsideDownAnimals.com.
That is absurd. And I want to protest this trivia question.
Are you serious?
This is ridiculous.
I got a question wrong, so therefore I protest.
What am I looking at the zoo? Why am I looking at a? What do you think he's drinking? Water? There's I don't understand.
Do I think that
not one flamingo out of all 50 was upside down eating?
Okay. Their whole body wasn't upside down. Their head was.
Their head was not.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Email Ashley. okay. Number two, which creature can sleep for up to 3 years in one shot? A, snail, B, sloth, C, koala, or D, a derrick?
Ooh, derrick is up to 2 years.
Actually. Yeah, because of laziness.
I believe it's the first answer, the snail.
The A snail. Okay.
Can go over 3 years.
You don't want to try sloth again, huh?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't. I mean, they're slow. They go so slow they get mold on them. But
and koalas, they sleep 19 hours a day. You don't think they can last for 3 years?
No doubt.
Okay.
No
snail is correct, my friend.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay.
Okay. Right, last question. Which two animals are commonly associated with bidding somebody farewell and then seeing them after a small period of time?
Which and there's no options, huh? I just have to know, of all the animals in the animal kingdom.
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with a saying.
That's not even a hint.
It is a hint.
Which two animals are commonly associated with bidding somebody farewell?
Yeah. I'm going to have to walk you through this.
And then seeing them after a small period of time. Is this like some ridiculous pun that I'm not catching?
Not really.
I mean, I don't really even know how to answer this. Like a sloth and a snail?
Okay.
I don't know.
I can walk you through it. So what do you say when you bid somebody farewell? What do you say?
Well, you could say adieu, but I say goodbye. Goodbye?
You say goodbye to people. They say, all right, Derek, and you say goodbye.
Farewell.
You don't say farewell.
I will see you on the morrow.
Okay, you're getting closer.
Okay. How does anybody know?
You say see you later.
See you later, alligator. Oh, my.
After a while,
crocodile. This is nobody should miss that question. we're gonna take that
trivia
out.
Fail.
No, we're gonna take that out. That is not a trivia fail.
Yeah. You cannot handle fail.
I can't handle horrible questions that have no ridiculous. They're all ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. All right, so there we go. We're gonna track that, and that, my friend, is all I got.
Guys, we'll see you next time on the B&B. Remember, if you see a ginormous, beautiful pink flamingo eating, his head will not always be upside down.
Around the world.
Even the zoologist, you know, they couldn't even, she couldn't really figure out that Carl is the one mutilating all these cows for food. And I mean, he's got, it's a whole thing Colorado people do. And mainly in his city, they mutilate him, then they like ship him. And then it's like, they blame it on the aliens. And I don't know what that's about, but I clearly need to get some newer, better backpacking friends. So if you know anybody, shoot me an email.